Dan's Driving Double Feature presents A Minute to Dismember, episode 33, minute 26. Someone is killing Sebastian and Ann Kent and Aunt B. Aunt B has had her head run over with a car. Sebastian has had his heart pushed out through his chest. And Ann has run inside the house to try to get away. We left our killer standing over B's crushed head body, raising an axe into the air. Listen. Kettle drum as scary sound. I love it. The punctuation and fear that the sound of the boing kettle drum brings is awesome. Only beaten by the mid-80s use of slap bass to scare you. Oh my god, look at that. Boing. And this is while that boing music is going, you get the killer chopping off Aunt B's fingers, and quite, like, lustily, too, making grunting noises as it's happening. Look, I'm not going to pretend like the killer isn't a she, because at 25 minutes, 10 seconds into this movie, when it cuts to the killer, it's no longer her silhouette with blue behind her. You actually see her up close. There she is. She's looking right at you. I'm not going to tell you who it is. You'll find out later. But the reason why I'll try to still act like we don't know who the killer is. In fact, I am going to act like that. And the reason why I'm going to do that is because I wouldn't put it past Doris to show very clearly this one person doing the killing and then in the end just say, oh, this other person did it. I know I sort of mentioned that in the last minute, but even more so in this one. This is, that's you. You can see who's doing the killing right there. And, it's because these people called the Kent kids crazy that this is happening. So it's pretty vicious. The heart through the chest, running over the head, cutting off the fingers. And then we get to, what is it, Aunt Anne in her nice little blue hat. And she sort of cowers, I don't know where she's cowering, I guess in a basement corner. And you just see the killer approach with her nice with a nice brown slacks on. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm never going to stop. Got a nice brown slacks and a nice vest and axe in hand. Boing! Walking slowly towards her. And then you can hear her cowering on the soundtrack. And then it gets pretty vicious again. Like the fingers were very choppy vicious. And it's not... I mean, the heart was pretty sweet. It's like the gore is very sloppy, which is nice. And kind of abundant here, because you see she chops at Anne's neck with an axe. And then a few shots later, you see, like, the axe waving around. And the head is, like, stuck to it. Drenched in blood and stuck to it and waving it around. And the minute ends with the head on, like, a towel or a tablecloth or something, and it looks like the killer is wrapping the head in this towel or whatever it is. That's pretty gross. That's pretty gross. Doris is really giving it her all. As she says, you know, in the commentary, she points out, you know, it's a horror thing. She wanted it to be horror-y, and this is the way she believed horrors were, filled with gore. And yeah, 83, yeah, there were some pretty good times going on there. It's funny, I wish I had more specifics for the dates of when it was, because, I mean, obviously she made it over the course of time, but, I mean, 83 is nearing the end of that first cycle of slashers. The slashers have sort of peaked box office-wise, now home video-wise, and volume-wise, they had really slowed down in 83, but sort of home video-wise, they're picking up. But sort of like as far as blockbuster status things, as far as your prom nights, your Halloweens, your Friday the 13th, by 83, that really wasn't happening anymore. But yeah, so slashers, the first wave is dying down. To me, the first wave of slashers ends more or less with the final chapter, which I think is 84. Sorry. Ends with the final chapter, and the sort of second wave of slashers begins in 85 with Nightmare on Elm Street, which sort of revitalizes it, the box office is sort of creatively, and a film like Blood Cult, which basically says, we can do this for home video, and it will make a lot of money. So that's kind of where that all takes off. But yeah, she's kind of coming at the tail end, and I'd have to look to see. I've never really looked at Doris's sort of filmography chronology to see sort of like when she was doing her, say, nudie films in the early 60s, was she right online with what was going on, right in there, or was she behind the times? Now, something like Double Agent 73, she's in her own realm there, but sometimes she was following trends, and clearly she was following trends here. I mean, it was the early 80s, horror was all the rage, and she was going to do horror, and boy, did she ever. Boy, did she ever. I would like to know if these gory bits, I imagine they are all in that original version, or that version, I don't know if it's the original version, that version that Chuck keeps mentioning, that he's seen. I'd love to know if those are in there. Yeah, that's because these are pretty gory. I would imagine they are. And again, no sign of Samantha Fox in these, so she was definitely post the destruction of bits of the negative. Yeah, so not much going on in this. If you're a gore hound, hey, it's all about the gore, then this is your thing. It's funny, I watched, pardon my language, but I watched, for the second time in my life, Andreas Schnauz's Violent Shit the other day, and I guess that's gornography, because it's just like people driving around, mumbling, and then they get killed violently in long, long sequences in the woods. And this is sort of a much briefer, calmer, more imaginative version of that, because every few minutes someone's getting gorily hacked up. But it doesn't linger as long, and it's a lot more fun. Now, I don't know why I had to bring that movie into this. I think the reason why is because I watched it for a podcast, and due to, rest in peace, Sir Toby Hooper's passing, we're not going to be discussing that movie now, and for at least for a while. And I ain't watching it again. Sorry, everybody. That was a little tangent because this minute is just killing. It's just people getting killed. It's her giving people exactly what she thinks they want. And you know what? I love it. I love the craziness of the axe on the head on the axe, and why is she wrapping up the head in the towel or whatever? And I love the goofy music, which does sound like it should be from like I said before. I think it sounds like Goofy and Donald should be heading down some haunted house steps to look for Mickey kind of music, but. Regardless, that is minute 26 of A Night to Dismember. We'll see how gory the next one is. Probably not that gory, since those three people are dead. But you can rest assured that in the next 15 seconds of your life, you will get to hear this.
I remember you yelling at me in this scene, Doris.
Why was I yelling at you?
You were saying, get the shadow, get the shadow. I remember that. So I had to get the shadow on the wall. You see it up there in the
screen? But did you get enough of the shadow?
You tell me.